Do you believe? Do you have faith?
Get the mic.
You know me. Do you believe? Do you have faith? As she said that, I said, faith, energy. And we all need energy. Sometimes when we're going through things, we get wore out because we get stressful. But when you pick up that faith that you have, that Jesus has given to us, we get strength. And it doesn't wear us out. Sometimes we lose things, but we forget about our faith. And if we pick up that faith again, we go through it in a different way. So today we'll be talking about learning how to live a life of loss. Welcome back to the third week in our series based on the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. This wonderful letter teaches us how to experience joy going through tough times. Can you imagine having joy going through tough times? Yes. Why? Because you have Jesus in your life. Because you have the faith that he is not going to leave you. You have the faith and the know that he is going to be there every step of the way. During week one, we covered chapter one of the letter where Paul urges us to live as if God was in control. That first week, Apostle Janet did, doing praise and worship, she said it was heaviness here. And so she got up and she wanted us to shake it off. And I don't know how many of you know my friend Linda. She's Jerome, used to be Jerome's co-worker, but she was here. And she's been coming to the river for a while now. And she loves the river. She loves the praisers as we are, okay? And she, that was the day that we had the storm. Well, a great big tree fell on her car. And the wind, as you guys know, it was terrible. The wind was so bad. And the rain was so heavy, and she got scared. But she thought about, I was at church today, and what word did I get? And she said she shook it off, woo! And she started praying. She said, woo! I can imagine. And the peace of God that came over her. So, you know, you wonder why Pastor Janet does some things that she does, or why any of the leadership do things, or how any of you do some things. Well, you never know. A lot of times you don't find out. But I was so thankful that she let me know what had happened and what experience that she had. And so that was awesome. And be praying for her because she's traveling to Wisconsin to see her mother's, to celebrate her mother's birthday. I think she told me her mother was 90. So be praying for her to go on to celebrate with her mom. And I'm sure she'll tell her mom about her incident here. During the second week, we look at chapter 2, where Jesus, our Lord, is presented as a perfect example for behavior in times of difficulty and persecution. He is our model for enduring tough times. You know, we're always told that the Bible will give us instructions on how to handle anything. So I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to model after Jesus so that I can go through times. And how about you, Sam? Don't you want to be more like Jesus so you know how to go through things and it won't knock you down? Yes, I know you do. He is our model for enduring tough times. And now in week 3, we will look at chapter 3 of the letter, where we see that the Apostle Paul is also a model for us learning what it means to endure hardship. Suffering and hardship should come as no surprise to us. Perhaps we cannot explain the meaning of suffering, but we can go through hard times in a Christ-like manner. Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. And this is said in John 15 and 20. So, you know, we think about how do we think that we can go through life even as Christians without receiving hardship? Because you know that Jesus did. The Apostle Paul in another letter said, don't be surprised if someone thinks strange we begin to happen to you when you endure hardship. Is in 1 Peter 4:12. And in another context, Paul himself encourages new believers with these words. Through many tribulations, as we enter the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. In fact, one of the last messages given to us by Paul in 2 Timothy reminds us, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. Exactly. So don't let nobody tell you that we won't be, because we will be. But you know, I like living a life like Jesus, because I won't go through it the same as somebody on the street who knows nothing about Jesus. Today we look at Philippians chapter 3 and discover that Paul offers himself as an example for how to go through hard times. Very near the end of this chapter, in verse 17, he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us every model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. It's not just about us. Say it. It's not just about us. It's others, and others are watching us. This kind of exhortation is common in Paul's letter. He often offers his own life as a personal example. For the Philippians had a unique perspective in understanding how Paul endured persecution. The book of Acts recorded that in the very first days after Paul arrived in the city, he was thrown in prison. So what do you think Paul was going through? And he was thrown in prison the first days that he arrived. He responded to these imprisonments by singing praises to God. Can you imagine just singing praises to God, and here you are a man and you are locked up in jail? Can you imagine that? You know, it's like most of us will be crying and complaining and, you know, everything, but not him. He was singing praises to the God, because you know what? He could have been killed. Could have been worse, but he was not. And God responded to Paul's praise by supernaturally breaking him out of jail. Even the Philippians jailer was impacted by Paul's example. The jailer took Paul into his own home, bandaged his wounds, and became a follower of Jesus. He and his whole family were baptized and were new covenants. Isn't this something? It reminds me of Joseph. You know, when he was in jail and how he acted and how gifted he was, and he got favors. He got favors by people. Paul's example while he was planting a church is instructive in two ways. First, there is frequently a connection between faithful ministry and difficult days. Second, the world is watching as followers of Jesus endure tough times. How Paul responded, and by extension, how we respond, become a means of evangelism. Our actions authentic our message. It's for real. Perhaps you have never been thrown in jail for your testimony of Christ. I think we have talked about that many times before, how blessed we are here in the United States, that we can talk about Jesus, that we can carry our Bible, that we can come to church when the church is open for us, and we don't get thrown in jail, and we don't get persecuted for that. What a blessed place we live in. But we do. Say it. Amen. We are lucky. I can carry my Bible wherever I go, even though most of us use our phones, you know. But, you know, before the cell phones came around, we carried our Bible. A couple of Sundays ago, when we knew Pastor Janet told us to read the first chapter, I bought my Bible. You know what? And I felt good. It was a little big, a little heavy, but I bought it. And I saw the next week somebody else had bought those. You know, we need to start doing that again, because we get away from, where is Psalms? Where is this? And where is that? And you have to go to the index and see what pages are. But when you bring your Bible along, and as the preacher says, Psalms 2, you can turn to Psalms 2, and it becomes more familiar to us. Okay, perhaps you have never been beaten because you were a follower of Jesus, but difficult times come in many forms. There are plenty of believers who have suffered the loss of family relationships because of their belief. There are plenty of believers who have been passed over for promotions at work because they put their faith first and their work second. Unfortunately, a lot of businesses, you know, work on Sunday, but people pass up those promotions and those jobs because they are involved in church and because they want to go to church. So it might be a few cents more, but you decide to stay on the job that you're on because you want to go to church. You want to be in church on Sundays and you want to serve the kingdom of God. And also it's talked about, there are plenty of believers who pass up. Yeah. And your relationship with your family. Haven't you sometimes heard your family complain about you always going to church? Yeah, I have. That's my mother's heart. She's up in heaven now, but I remember after I would leave church and go by her house, and my brother would say, well, what was service about? And then mom said, well, you going back tonight? Oh, yeah. Well, your husband worked today, and he can't go. What's he going to say? You should stay home with him. You can read the Bible or whatever at home. Mom, I got to go to church tonight. I got to be there in the presence with my brothers and sisters to receive and to feel the presence of God. And plus, my husband supports me going to church. Amen. That was a big thing. There are plenty of believers who make choices involving in personal loss in order to remain faithful to Jesus, their Lord. Perhaps you are one of those believers. If you have not faced difficult days, let me encourage you as Paul and Barnabas encouraged the first church that they planted. Though many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The question is not whether we will face hardship or suffering. That's a certainty, right? It's a certainty. We shall. The only question is when and how will we face the trouble? When you first become a follower of Jesus, did anyone share with you that you were signing up for difficult days ahead? Well, they should have. In fact, trouble and persecution are a part of God's news. It is. It is, Yvonne. And you know that as a believer. But God, who you call on every night. But God, Cindy, you call on every night. Well, they should have. In fact, trouble and persecution are a part of God's news. Even when we call on him, we understand that God's going to be there for us. Perhaps you are here today investigating the claim of Christ. I would not deceive you by telling you that your life will always be easy as a follower of Jesus. In fact, a sincere desire to follow Jesus often involves loss and suffering. Loss and suffering. But with very good news as well, you will be headed for a joy unspeakable that is full of glory. And that surpasses everything that we go through. So today in chapter 3 of this marvelous letter, I would like to give you 5 points to help you understand how Paul is also an example for us in facing difficult and trials. Let's look at chapter 3. In verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "Further, my brother and sister, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same letter to you again, and it is a safeguard for you, and evil doers." For it is who we serve God for his spirit and hosts in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3, 1, 2, 3. Do you see Paul's warning there in verse 2? We should watch out for people who preach a false gospel. Now, false gospels come in many ways. We will not be told that the following Jesus always leads to prosperity or better wealth and more happiness. Now, of course, eventually those things are true. We will. They're true. But the false gospel in our days is all about becoming wealthier, healthier, and happy right now. It does not happen like that. It doesn't happen right away. When someone prophesies to you, it doesn't always happen right then. It may be next week, next year, 2 or 3 years down, but it will happen. Perhaps you have heard a gospel that says, God will never let anything bad happen to you. Many people's faith can be on the verge of folding simply because they began to face hard times. The promise, for instance, wealth, health, and happiness may sound like good news, but the true good news is that Jesus will be with us through whatever we face. In good news or in bad, Jesus will be with us. Good news or bad, hard times or bad times, believe it, he will be. Bad theology creates its own difficulties. Bad theology can become a harsh taskmaster. It can force us to lie about our circumstances in order to convince everyone that everything is just ducky. Everything is great. How many times have we done that? We're going through things, but we don't completely tell the truth because we don't want people to know it's us as Christians did something that we shouldn't have done. Or that something was done to us and we're Christians. We have faith, but something bad happened to us. And sometimes people don't understand that bad things can happen to Christians also. Bad theology can also lead us to feeling guilt if things are not going well, cause us to ignore feelings or guilt, feelings that could lead us to repentance and life. Paul is warning his friends that they should be guarded against bad theology, the theology of dogs, as it calls dog theology, says that you can impress God and others with some religious behavior, but don't you believe it. You can't believe everything you hear. That's why I know I've heard Pastor Janet say, go back and read the scripture that I give. Go back and read the scriptures that are up there in your Bible. Because what I say or what someone else you hear on TV may not be correct. So you better go and look it up yourself. I mean, she knows what she got from her Bible. And I don't know about you guys, but I trust her. But some, you don't know where it came from. You know what I mean? So look it up for yourself. And point two, in verse 4-7, Paul explains how dog theology has fooled him. He had been taught that he could impress God by keeping all the Jewish laws and by earning his own salvation. But notice what Paul says about his past life. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in flesh. I have more circumcision on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrews, in God's to the law, a Pharisees as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever we gained were gained to me, I know now consider for loss for the sake of God. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of God. And that is in Philippians 3:4-7. When Paul passed as a Pharisee, this is an impressive list of credentials. But no, these credentials mean nothing to him. Paul says that he considered the past to be lost. You know how we used to hear out that when you become saved and when you give yourself to Jesus Christ, you have to give up some things. You have to give up some people. You have to give up some habits. This is where we're going. Not saying that all the people will be put on the backside forever, but for that season, yes. And not only the Apostle Paul, as we begin our journey with Jesus, we are called to leave behind whatever investment we have in the old way of life. Another way to say this is that Jesus is for losers. That's right. We must lose our own way of thinking, and we must lose whatever confidence we have in our past accomplishments. It's not just the people who are down and out who need the gospel. There are people who are up and out who also need the gospel. We all need the gospel, regardless of your color, your age, your size, your education. We all need the gospel. In Jesus, their past does not matter. whether that past is good or bad, the only thing that counts is the new creation in Christ. Whatever we've done in the past, when we become saved and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, all of that has been forgiven by Jesus. It's washed away. It's gone. It's buried. And we are new creations. And three, this brings us to the third point as we look at this chapter. Listen as Paul continues the same line. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, and that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I consider them garbage. Regardless, I consider them garbage, and I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And we're talking about that faith again. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul considers everything in his life to be lost compared to knowing Jesus. Even the good stuff. One lesson that Paul has learned and that he shared with those in Philippians and that he shared with us today was that we shall lay all our accomplishments on the altar of God. The prophet Isaiah understood that well when he said that our righteousness was in filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. I remember a long time ago as a child, I heard that word, filthy rags. I started laughing because I can remember my aunt talking about, pick them filthy rags up. So, you know, that kind of weird. Whoa, okay, auntie, okay. The gospel does not care about our achievements or about our failures. The gospel cares only for us. And what will happen after we decide to follow him. In fact, Paul calls this the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. What about us? Do we consider knowing Jesus to be the great thing of our lives? Do you consider knowing Jesus to be a great thing in your life, Carol? Yeah. You may have overcome significant hardship. You may have survived a difficult childhood and found a stable and happy life. You may have overcome abuse from a loved one and someone you trusted. You may have overcome some kind of addiction and found sobriety and peace. You may have worked hard to earn an advanced degree from the university. I'm sure each one of us have gone through one of these things in one way or another. But we should learn from Paul's example. He considered everything to be lost, even the good stuff. Do you know that suppressing worth? I'm asking both believers and seekers. Perhaps you have never made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm here to tell you there is a suppressing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. It will suppress whatever difficulties you face or whatever accomplishments you have claimed. But I am also asking those of us who have already decided to follow Jesus, do you know the suppressing worth of knowing Christ Jesus? It is all too easy for religious people, Christians, to settle into trusting lives of comfort, religious habits, instead of knowing Jesus more and more and more. And, you know, we want to know Jesus more and more and more. And, you know, we always think we know. But, no, there is so much to Jesus Christ that we don't know. But there's more. I want a relationship with him. I want to know what I hear is really not someone else, but it's Jesus. Four, this brings me to our fourth point from Philippians chapter 3. There is more to know about Jesus. Hear what the Apostle Paul said. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering. Becoming like Jesus is his death. And so somehow obtaining in the resurrection of his death. We should be amazed at these words. Here the great apostle who served Jesus and accomplished great things for the kingdom of God says plainly, I want to know Christ. Let's say, I want to know Christ. There were more of Jesus for Paul to get to know. And the same for us. There's more of Jesus for us to get to know. We might be tempted to think, if Paul does not know Christ, then who does? But Paul points, and that eternal, infinitive Lord always beckons us further into his goodness and his glory. There was more of Christ for Paul, and there is more of Christ for us to know. Right? Notice too, Paul lists of those things which he wants to know and experience. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of sharing suffering with Jesus. Becoming like Jesus in his death. Because we all have to die of something. We all do, to be more like Jesus. And attaining a new quality of life, both now and in the resurrection. Here Paul is most definitely an example for us. We are a journey for Jesus. And because the Lord is infinite, there is no arrival point. There is always more of him to know. Amen. Always more of his love to receive. You know, and the more that we get to know Jesus, that love is even greater than before. And always more of his mission to join. I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you? No. And my last point, 5. This brings us to our 5th and final point for Philippians chapter 3. Jesus has something in mind when he picked the Apostle Paul. And Jesus has something in mind for each one of us. Each one of us. He picked us. He handpicked us. And he has something for each one of us. Think about what it would be. More than what you could ever think or dream of. God has so much for us. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, because I haven't. I remember a bishop saying all these prophetic words that he has been given over the years. No, he has not gotten to all of them, but thank God he's still alive. You know, so there is more in life for him, and there is more in life for each one of us too. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgiving what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I push on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in Christ Jesus. And each day I wake up, like the pastor said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you have given me. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for yesterday. And Lord, what will you have for me to do today? Jesus has something in mind when he picked you. Paul knew the secret of his life would be revealed as he followed hard after Jesus and noticed the connection between Christian maturity and discovering our purpose. Mature people trust that God will reveal his purpose to them. Do you long to know the purpose for your life? We can confidently follow Paul's example, that is joyful obedience to Jesus, which will discover that for which he had hold on us. I can feel that hold. This is a tremendous comfort. Whether in times of trouble or times of ease, what would the world see if they watched us as we discovered and fulfilled the purpose for our lives? And Dr. Janet wrote a book, Discovering Your Purpose. I went through that class, and I tell you, it told me a few things. And you know, if you don't know what your purpose is, get with someone that can help you. And maybe if we have enough interest, Apostle Janet will teach that class again. Because, you know, most of you don't know your purpose. You know a little bit about it, but you don't know all of it. And she can help you to define the ins and outs of knowing why God picked you and what he wanted for you. And all that echoes up to what is your purpose. So she wrote this book. Can you believe it? Our apostle, Dr. Janet, wrote this book, Discovering Your Purpose. Your personal purpose? Okay. I remember it was a blue book, right? Yeah, still have it. What a beautiful letter we have in Philippians. Paul was writing from prison in order to encourage those who were not in prison. First, Paul pointed to Jesus as one example of living through difficult times. And in chapter 3, Paul asks us to consider his life as well. This is the final application for us today. We will point to our lives as a model for living through tough times. I believe that is possible to demonstrate a joyful union with Jesus that is living and vibrant, whether in good times or in bad times. Next week, we will look at the generous gift that the Philippians church sent to Paul while he was in prison. What a fitting way to conclude this chapter in this series, living a life of generosity, even in hard times. And we'll see you next week. So, Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to stand up here and to share your word. I thank you, Lord, that as we, as Christians, go through bad times, that you're always there with us. As we lose things, that you'll always be there with us. I thank you, Lord, that you will use us to talk about the gospel to people that are saved and not saved, in the church and out of the church. Father, I just thank you for each one of us that you have given this opportunity to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.